Okay, so the show is called Pure Miracles. So I guess it starts off with the Lailahahu, sixth parak in the Megillah. Okay. So, start with that, some Rashis, maybe we'll end up touching on some of those Gemaras Ariel was asking me about, remember? Balance, we'll see. So starts off with the interesting Rashi. So it says, "Balayla hahu nadadash nasamal." That night, the sleep of the king was stirred. Right? Ayomer lahavi. So he said to bring the Sefer HaZichronos, right, the records. They should be read before the king. Right? Okay. So the question is why couldn't the king sleep? Right? Why not? Why was his sleep disturbed? Okay. So you may not think that's not such a hard question. But Rashi says, well, she has two pshatim. Okay. And it's like I said, I really want to understand the it seems like it's a machlokas between two pshatim. Seems that way. And I'd like to understand seemingly the two positions. Okay? So Rashi and Vav Aleph and Megillah, Rashi says, Nes Haya. It was a Nes. Okay? The king's sleep was disturbed. It was a miracle. Okay? Okay, that's his first shot. Okay? Miraculous disturbance of his sleep. Yesh omrim, but others say, some say, some es libo he put to his heart. Al shezimna Esther as Haman, the fact that Esther invited Haman, shema nasnei neva, maybe she's desirous of him, Haman, v'yehargehu, and Haman will kill Achashverosh in order to get Esther. Okay. And that's why he was unable to sleep. Not because of an ace, but because Esther put this idea in his head that maybe there's an affair going on. Maybe someone's going to kill him. And then it keeps going. Lahavi says, Rashi the way is when they can't sleep, so they just read the books, stories, whatever. Sichos, right? Rabbi Hoseinu, it sounds like he's going back now to maybe that's more in line with the Nes. Like if you say, no, Shmos Malach is a Nes, so fine. So why is there a Zichronos? That's what they read. That's what they do. The king can't sleep. They bring in Mishalim, Sichos, whatever, random things. But Rabbi Hoseinu, Rabbi Chazal say, I think picking up on the same other Chazal, Mitosh, since he's putting his mind, his heart to Haman and Esther, wondering if there's an affair going on, Omar, he said, it's impossible that someone doesn't know, someone who loves me, as a confidant, doesn't know about their plan, their advice, and they'll tell me. Right? If in fact there's something going on, someone got to hear, the walls have ears, someone's got to know, and someone should be telling me. Why is no one telling me? And then he said, "Shema Asa Li Adam Tova." Maybe someone did a Tova to me and didn't reward him. Ran closer to him. Totally. And he's no longer concerned about me. The Fika Fayomalavias. And according to this Chazal, that's why he said, bring out his record book. And that's what he wanted to know. Tell me who, maybe there's someone. One who knows what's going on, but they don't want to tell me because they feel slighted by me. And let's look. Is there someone who I did good for? And then sure enough, they found Mordechai. And so on. Right? So according to this Chazal, the Yesh and Rashi, the reason why he couldn't sleep was because of her plan that she invited Esther, invited Haman to the party. Right, and that caused him to worry. And then that he's worried he can't sleep. And then he can't sleep, he's thinking, oh, Maybe I didn't award somebody ultimately, right? And that's why I said there was a chana, right? So that's all well and good. That's, I think, the way we normally understand that, right? But maybe because we know, heard it from Rebbe, or because we saw this Rashi, or because we saw the Gemara, whatever. Right. Right. Exactly. Later the reaction. Exactly. But the first pshat in Rashi, and really this is the second pshat in Rashi. First pshat in Rashi is saying is the reason why the king couldn't sleep was an ace. Right? Nes haya. And the reason why he said Sefer Zichronos, because that's the way when kings can't sleep. They say Mishalim and Sichos. So they do. Storybook, story time. Right? And then Yesh Omrim, Avaseinu Omrim, Yesh Omrim. It's like and a super, like the plain pshat is, it's just a miracle that he couldn't sleep. It's a miracle that that's what they read. They happened to pull out that book. And like the whole thing is just a big miracle. Whereas, right? Something like that. Whereas, according to the second shot, it's not a miracle. It was just a plan working out, right? The plan played out to perfection, right? So I guess what's difficult to me, well, should have been the other way around. That's one way to think about it. Or or to me, the way I always thought about it, is like they're the same thing. It's a combo. It's a combo. You make a good plan. But even a good plan doesn't necessarily work out, so that's where the nes comes in, you know? But I don't know. To me, it doesn't sound like Rashi's doing that. Rashi's not saying, you know, I don't know how you'd say it exactly, but this is our plan, and the nes that it worked out. It sounds like he's presenting two different theories. The nes theory and the Esther's plan theory, right? So again, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe when Rashi says two pshatim, they work hand in hand together. They're two sides of the same coin. I mean, I'd like to say that because I think they're both true. I do think it makes sense to say that they go hand in hand. But I don't know. The way it sounds to me, and I'm not an expert in Yesh Omrim and Rashi, but it sounds to me like he's interpreting this as like there's a plan, there's one way, almost a plain way or whatever, and then Yesh Omrim, I was saying a darsha, whatever. Like there's a machlokas going on here. And I'd like to understand what is the machlokas. This could be it's getting it a little bit from the I'm not sure, but there's a Gemara, Megillah Tesvav HaMabez, which this is based upon. This Rashi is based upon. And again, I think you have the same question about this. Is it one theory, two theories in the Gemara? So the Gemara says, Balaitza Tesvav HaMabez Naban, Balailu Nadashnas HaMalaf, Amr of Tancho, Nadashnas Malko Shalolam. What does the Malach? It means Hashem. Nadanas, the sleep of Hashem, so to speak, was disturbed. Right? Which Rashi says means Dugma Vayikets Kiyashan Hashem. Limko Nikmasa. It's like Hashem woke up, like he was sleeping, and he woke up in order to take his vengeance. So it means, so to speak, Hashem was sleeping. Anochi Astya Astya Panai, right? So Hashem was like closed up in the clouds, that type of a thing, sleeping, letting this whole decree happen. And then, on this night, the king Hashem's asleep was aroused, right? They just did tshuva. This is when all of a sudden it's like almost like a turning point. In fact, according to Shita in the Gemara, who holds that you have to just read about, in those shittas about how much does Megillah have to read, one of them says you just have to read Takvo Shel Nes. Right, you just have to read the basically the miracle story. So they say it starts from here, but I don't know the Shasana. So it seems like this is the turning point. This is when the Nes really began.
When people read it with the truck. Okay.
Good. So by that measure, so it could be that. So it's according to this shot, that's what it means. It's a reference to Hashem, you know, turning around. Which is a little bit hard in the pshat, because you could say that. Right, okay. So that's the first try. That is Rabbi Tanfam. Then it says Rabbanan Amri, right? Rabbanan Sayyam and Tesvam Bez Megillah. Nadu Al Yonim, Nadu Tachtonim. So the Al Yonim were disturbed, disturbing. The Tachtonim were disturbing. Rashi says, "Shohu Malachim afilin oso kol halayla." The Malachim, angels, were bothering him all night long. The Amrulo, they said to him, "Kafoy tova, you kafoy tova, Achashverosh shalem tova lemisha sa." Pay back good to the one who did good to you, and one of the Mordechai, right? V'yesh omrim, that's it, Lashon Mar. V'yesh omrim, nadu al yonu, k'dei sheyirbu b'tachtonim levakesh al hadavar. Yonim are disturbed. In order that, the tachtonim, I guess the lower people, will seek out the tefillah. And let's leave that alone for now. Right, so according to that, nadu al yonim, I couldn't figure out the pshat, nadu al yonim, the malachim aroused, disturbed, nadu tachtonim. I don't know if it means like the malachim disturbed the tachtonim. The malachim aren't disturbed. It's like they're disturbing. They're like they're feeling oso. So maybe like they're disturbed and he's disturbed. The tachtonim, the elyonim, is the malachim. The tachtonim. I saw someone say the tachtonim are Klal Yisrael. They're doing tshuva or something. But I don't know. Rashi's not saying anything about that. Rashi's just saying they're disturbing him. So again, I don't know. Maybe Rashi doesn't have the same gersa. Nadu elyonim. He doesn't have the zirah masla. Nadu elyonim. The tachtonim. He just says nadu elyonim. So maybe it just means that it's not that Hashem was disturbed, but the Malachim were disturbed, or disturbing. And then the third pshat, right? Rava Amar Shnas Hamelach Achashverosh Mamash. When it says another Shnas Hamelach, it means the sleep of Achashverosh was disturbed. Nafla b'lei milsa b'dayte. This thought popped into his head. Amar. My de command is a minte, Esther Haman. What's in front of us? What's here? That Esther invited Haman. Maybe there's some sort of a plan. Maybe they're playing a plan to be able to kill me. He says, if so, isn't there someone who loves me who would tell me about this? He said, maybe there's someone I did good for, who did good for me, and they didn't pay him back. That's why they're not telling me. Right? That's what he said, called the Zechus Chronos. Right? So, that's the natural pshat. Right? No, this sounds like the pshat. No, this means the Achashverosh's sleep was roused because Esther's plan. The whole thing played out. Right? Whereas the first pshat, it's not quite saying it doesn't. You know, according to the Rashi, it almost sounds like both pshatim mean Achashverosh, but one saying it was a miracle and one saying it's because of Esther. This is almost, it's a little similar, not exactly, but it's saying, does it mean that Hashem's anger, sleep was roused? Namely, I guess Ashkacha turned it around? Or does it mean the angels were arousing? Or means Achashverosh was roused because of the whole Esther thing?
Well, the way Ashkacha turned around.
Right, exactly. Right. The first pshat, that's what I thought. The first shot saying is it means Hashem turned woke up. So then what how did Hashem wake up? He kept Achashverosh awake. So then the reason why Achashverosh is awake is because of an ace, because Hashem's mercy turned, and now he woke up and he's waking him up. But then it's not according to the Abshah, it's nothing to do with Esther, really. Or if it's in the second shot, the Malachim are just waking him up and making noise or whatever. Another type of an ace. Right? So again, I mean, you could learn them all together. Again, I would naturally learn this Gemara all together. Ashkacha turned. He sent certain of angels to it to keep Ashkacha awake. And then, sure enough, it worked through this plan of Esther. I don't know, some sort of interplay. But I mean, you know, it sounds like in the Gemara they're presenting it like a machlokas. So I don't know, maybe that's what Rashi's going on. Like, Yeshomrim, Lemshad, it was an ace. But Yeshomrim, it was this Esther thing. But again, it's to me, in my mind, I kind of lump all these things together, like an integrated view of the whole story. But I don't know. It doesn't sound like Rashi is trying to do that, and maybe the Gemara isn't either. I mean, it's seemingly it's Machlokas, there are three sheets in the Gemara. They're not saying let's all team up and say the same thing. It sounds like three different ways of learning. And I would say, Yaakov's asking how you can have an integrated pshat. I mean, either you need a miracle, or you don't need a miracle. So, I mean, I would have thought, again, barring this Rashi, I would have thought, similar to what you're saying, but just to spell it out in this case, is like, let's say it's a good plan, right? It's a good plan. But even if it's a good plan, there's a lot of factors that may not work out, right? Like, for example, it's a plan to keep him awake at night, right? And put the whole idea on his head. But maybe that night he drank like crazy at the party. got totally drunk, and I slept with Esther, got totally into Zong, fell asleep, and next thing you know, it was the next morning. So, like, it could be a great plan, but there's various factors which could, it could be noisy in the courtyard, and therefore you can't fall asleep. Or, like, there's, like, other factors which could play out different ways, which even if the plan is good enough, it sometimes needs, you know, assistance or other forces to line up to make it play out properly. And so she made a good plan, which might have in theory been a good plan, but that doesn't mean it's necessarily going to work. And that's what I would think. That's why I think about these things, is like, that's where the hashgacha fits in. Hashgacha fits in. It's like, there's, you know, your plan gets you, let's say, till, I don't know, 90% or I don't know, whatever. I don't know how you know the numbers, but plan's a good plan. But there's always intangibles in any plan that you make. They may or may not work out. So that's hashgacha, you know, behind the scenes, however that works, but manipulates those other factors or helps them work out in a way that allows your plan to come to fruition.
I only prefer.
Okay, so I was thinking like this, a little differently. That it's really a machlokas, you could say, about quanti. Like, they both hold that there's two factors. There's two factors in this plan working out. One factor is Esther's plan, and the other factor is hashgacha. It's not one of those plans that just, like, they just sat back, sat in their chairs, and went to sleep, and Hashem just made it happen. Esther's making a plan. At the same time, even the best laid plans don't just automatically work. There's a million things that get in the way of them, right? But the question is, in a certain sense, like, what was the primary factor? In other words, if you say that it was an ace, then you're basically just saying it's like Esther was taking a shot. Like, you have to do something. You have to do something. She fasted. She did her thing. And she had an idea. She had a concept. She developed this plan, an idea that if I make him think there's an affair, then blah, 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 blah. I mean, she had a plan. But it was like, you know, a shot at a low probability plan, so to speak. There's a possibility. It was, so to speak, giving the hashgacha something to work with. But it was essentially like what you were saying, Moshe, like a 30% plan or something like that. It was a plan. But, you know, it was like, you know, an attempt. Because you got to attempt something as the best you come up with. But essentially, if that's the case, then essentially the cause of not being safe was the next. Right? Yes, she made a plan. But, okay. Fine, it's a nice theory, but, you know, doesn't mean it's gonna, it doesn't mean it's gonna work. Talk more about it in a second. But on the other side is a hard arguing, no, based on his analysis of story, Achashverosh, Esther, the personalities involved, Haman, the relationship between them. He's saying this was like Mamish, like excellent plan. It was like a solid plan that had a very high probability of success. I don't know, 70%. I don't know how to make the numbers. But, like, it was a good plan. And, like, in a certain sense, if you want to know why couldn't he sleep, it's because Esther did this thing. Now, exclusively, no, of course, there's an ace sister, there's hashgacha. Hashgacha allows these things to work out. Even if you have a good plan, like any business plan, any plan, I mean, there's a lot of things that can go wrong. But it's like, the hashgacha made it that the plan worked. And nothing went wrong, so to speak. But if that's the case, then if you want to know why couldn't he sleep, then the reason why he couldn't sleep is because Esther planted the seed in his head, and that's why he couldn't sleep. Now, does it mean it would have happened without Hashem? No, I don't know. Maybe not. Good chance not, because he knew Hashgacha. But still, if you're describing the cause, you just, like, I'm saying, you describe a cause based, like, anything has primary cause and secondary cause, if you want. But still, you describe the cause based upon the primary. If you say it's an ace, then you're saying is that essentially, It was a plan that was really gonna fail, pretty much. And the Nath made it work. And they say that it was Esther, it means it was a plan that was gonna work, and the Nath kind of helped it along. Now, how do you know? So I'm saying, arguably, I think it's like a machloka. So you have to think into, first of all, you have to know Achashverosh's personality. Was he the kind of guy, like, if he's very, like, it depends, there's a lot of factors, which it may be the Tanan or whatever the Shittas and Rashi Rashi Mazurik about. Like, depending on his personality, if he's like a nervous guy, anxiety prone type of person, if you analyze the personality of Achashverosh, you know, whatever, depending on his personality, a certain person, you could say for sure they're not going to be able to sleep in that type of public situation. Another guy who's like chilled out, calm, go to sleep. He just goes to sleep, whatever. He's like happy-go-lucky, whatever. He's not, you know, these things don't necessarily hit him. Or another thing is like how tight, how strong do you hold the connection between Haman and Ahasuerus was? How much did Ahasuerus really trust Haman? If he really trusted him, then it's not going to be disturbed just by Esther making this little thing. Like they have a whole long-standing relationship, and just because, okay, why is he at the party? I don't know. But that's not enough to disrupt it. If, on the other hand, you hold that really Ahasuerus had his doubts, and there was like a very tenuous type of relationship, then all you need to do is throw that Esther thing into there, and all of a sudden you're gonna, you know, it's gonna throw things off balance. Another factor is how strong was his connection to Esther? Was he convinced that Esther was gonna stick with him, or was he insecure about that? I don't know. It's like my point is, it's like in order to decide. I don't know ultimately how are you going to figure these things out, but like maybe if there is a machlokas, if Rashi's learning is a machlokas, it could be based upon the two shittos' analysis of the Megillah. You could have a sheet, you could come to a conclusion, an assessment at least, that you think this plan was solid and say, this is why it happened. The plan was perfect, great plan, excellent. On the other hand, you could think it through and say, okay, I hear the strategy, it's not stupid. Smartest thing considering the circumstances, but come on, you're really gonna not, you know. And again, if he sleeps through the night, the whole thing doesn't work, right? Imagine the story, what would have happened? I mean, I'm good, obviously, from the Malcolm, but the way it actually planned out, if he just somehow just conked out, slept all night, so then Haman's not gonna like come wake him up in the middle of the night. I don't know, Haman's gonna whatever, but they're probably not gonna wake him up. He's not gonna be all worried about this whole thing. Mordechai is not gonna go face Elish. Next day they go to the party. Who knows what's going to happen, right? So it's like the whole way the thing planned out. It was the fact that he couldn't sleep. He's all nervous. He's all worried about it. Can't sleep. Haman comes in the middle of the night. Says, you know, he's ready to do this whole tree thing. He's all excited. Then he says, "Kachi, you know, what should we do to honor the person?" And he says, "The crown and the whole thing." I mean, that totally put a wedge between Haman and Ahasuerus. But ultimately, that all happened because he couldn't sleep that night. And again, that's like a tenuous type of a thing. How much control could you have over, you know? But I don't know. You could. That's what I'm saying is the question. Is like, was that really solid? You know, or how solid do you think that is? That's what I'm saying. Another reason Chazal say why she made the party is because why she invited Haman to the party is to feed his ego. And that's like passing a mishnah or something like that. You know, you feed your enemy's ego, then you're gonna, and that is what ultimately got him.
They asked to hang Mordechai.
Yeah, then first of all, now that he's all on this high horse and he sees Mordechai, he gets totally freaked out. He can't handle it. It's all Hosanna and Shavali. And so much so that he just acts irrationally. You just play into your enemy's ego and he acts irrationally. So I know she maybe that is part of her plan. I don't know exactly that it's gonna come in the middle of the night, but who knows? I mean, it's hard to know. That's what I'm saying. It's like how much of what happened was Esther's genius plan that worked perfectly, and how much was, yeah, it was a theory, and maybe she thought of these things in the back of her mind, but it wasn't like orchestrated in the fullest way, you know. And I think a lot of things in life, I don't know, things work out perfectly. Sometimes you wonder, is that exactly how they worked that out, or is that, you know? So, and then it matters if you say that's exactly how she worked it out, and then it worked out. I mean, you say that's what the cause. Now, of course, there's hashgacha, but it's different. But if you say that it was kind of a long shot and she just kind of put, you know, had certain qualitative ideas of this is a good idea, 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 she threw it all together and came up with the best thing, then, you know, then you ultimately say, okay, of course, she acted with chachma, so what else is she supposed to do? But ultimately you say, it was Hashem who did it. Ultimately you attribute this thing to Hashem, to the Hashgacha. So there's another Gemara, we're just saying, we're looking at that later part in the Gemara, that says, talks about, I have a little bit more to say about this, but let's just go, we'll come back to it. So it says, "V'hamelech is Gemara still on Tesaim." It says, "V'hamelech kam bechamasos." The king arose in his anger. "V'hamelech shav miginas bisan, ginas habisan." Makis shiva lekima. It says, "V'hamelech kam bechamaso." "V'hamelech shav zotagehakesh." Ma kima bechema. Just like Ariel showed me this. Just like he got up in anger. Av shiva. So too, his return was in anger. The Ozal the Ashkach, the Malache Hasharis, it me like a Gavre. Because he went out to the garden. He found Malache Hasharis, they seemed like men, they looked like men. They called Akri Leilane, the Bustani. And they were uprooting the trees of the garden. Right? They were uprooting the trees of the garden. And they said, so somewhere in the Bustani meant the garden. Something like that. Boston Garden, exactly. So Amar Lehu, and he said to them, "My of the Chayu, what are you guys doing? What are you doing? You're brewing the trees in my garden? Crazy?" Right? Amru Le, defaktina and Haman. Because Haman told us to. Right? Haman told us to. Asa Lebese, when he came to his house, Haman, no fellow me. Oh, fine, so it gets to that. So basically, it's saying, before you get to that part, so it's saying is that's a comparison that he left in his anger. And he came back in his anger. Why did he come back in his anger? You wouldn't think he'd come back in his anger. After all, the whole point of going to the garden is to cool off. And he comes back and he's still angry. That was worthless. Why'd that happen? So it sounds like it's saying it shouldn't have happened. It really naturally, he would have come back, calmed down. Right? And maybe things would have been different. He would have let off some steam. But the Malach Esharis came. And we're uprooting the trees in the garden at that exact time and blaming Haman for it. Right? Is it Rashi on that? I don't know. I don't think so. So that's a strange, right? That's a strange thing. Yeah, the Ilana Hagina, that's what the Sifta says. So I don't know. So what do you say about that? I mean, like, I hear the problem was bothered by. Why did he come back angry or whatever, right? And the Hekesh. But what's the pshat in the Malachim? Does that really happen? That their mamash at that very moment, there's guys like uprooting the trees of the garden. I don't know. Something's and they said because of Haman. Okay, good. So putting together what the guys are saying is like he was going to cool down, cool off. But he's starting to think instead. All these thoughts are popping into his head. Haman's trying to prevent me from having pleasure. The fruits of the garden or whatever. It's like the mashal. It's like he's ripping up my fruits, my garden, my trees, my orchard. He's sleeping with my wife. He's who knows what, right? So it's like he's thinking, and maybe like David's saying, yeah, maybe he's thinking about different parts of the palace that he would have wanted designed in one way and Haman's designing a different way. He wants to be able to enjoy himself and have nice fruit gardens, but Haman's thinking about the whatever. Like, just is bringing to mind, is Haman really my friend? Are we really aligned? Are we really seeing eye to eye? Or is Haman somehow subtly trying to, Agam lepashmaka, you may be biased. That was like Agam, it's like the whatever. But it's just, this whole thing is starting to realize that their plans are not exactly lined up. And really, Esther put that in his head because she said, if he would have sold us a Shrava Nushvacha Sefer Ashti, but Einat Tsar Shemin Hazemach, he doesn't care. Was if you really, the king, if Haman really was the best interest of the gang, then he would have sold us as slaves. Why kill good servants? That's stupid. That's a stupid plan. That doesn't help the kingdom. Even if the Jews are bad, so make them servants. Us are saying, I would have been okay with that. I wouldn't have complained about that. I care about the king. But Haman, he's destroying. He's about to destroy your servants. All your servants who are going to plant all your trees, who are going to do all the work for you, he's just killing them all. So it's like she's putting in his head this idea that you think you and Haman are aligned, but it's not really true. You see, he's acting against your best interests, right? So it's like the Malachim, I think it's like there's some ways of learning it, but like what I'm thinking about it is like that, again, he had these thoughts, he went to cool down, and you might have thought that he would have cooled down, but the hashkacha, the messengers of Hashem, whether those messengers are thoughts that he had, maybe certain things that were going on in the garden, the kingdom or palace that he kind of thought of when he walked down, he looked at this tree and reminded him of this, or whatever the case is. But like the hashkacha saw to it that his calming down plan didn't play out as he would have liked. And that was vital, I guess, when he came back. He was still angry. And then when he saw Haman, we'll get to that in a second, when he saw Haman falling on the bed or whatever, then that was it. It was all, you know? But that was like, But if he really calmed down like he planned to, then maybe he would have been able to get past that. All right, but the Malachim saying are like the Hashgacha, seeing to it that again that the detail here is going to fall into place, that he's going to still be angry, and you know not be able to calm himself down in time to prevent him from getting Hamanek. And the next part it says in that Gemara, this is you're talking about there. It says so. Amrule Fans, it says, Haman nofel alamita. Nofel, nafal mi ba'ele. Why is he saying nofel? He's falling. It's just that he fell. So Amr of Allah, Zarman lamed, Sheba malach vipilo ala. The malach came and pushed him on it. Amr, vai mi besa, vai mi bra. So what does that mean?
Boy in the house and boy outside.
Uh-huh.
He borrowed.
He's attacking.
What's that? Tag me on the outside, tag me on the inside. You mean outside is like the yeah, garden right. Trees? In the trees, you're telling me. Now, here in the house, he's telling me.
Yeah, right. Because like.
Oh, he went into the house.
Rashi said, no fell, lashon osevaholech, like continually. No fell, the road to Liskov, so he fell and he was trying to get up, the Hamalach Lepila, and the Hamalach knocked him down. Right? So it's like he went down on the bed to beg, I guess, right? He was falling on the bed to beg to her. Try to, right? Presumably, I don't think he's really trying to do so. That's a crazy move. Why would he do that? That's, you know, presumably he was trying to beg. But then he tripped, he fell, he couldn't get up, he started rolling around, like, I don't know, like that kind of thing. Like, you know, which could be like a combination of psychologically, he's totally, like, you know, yeah, like a tear of das. Yeah, totally. Like, you know, sometimes you get like that. You just can't even breathe. Panic attack. You just like, can't even move. And he just loses it. And he's like trying to get up, and you know, but again, I think that Malach is like, he could have gotten up, but there's like the Hashgacha, like again, you could explain these things, and I think this is part of the idea, so I'm trying to get at like this, a lot of these Malach things here. There's like the Nes Nistar type of thing, is that all these things, almost all these things, you could explain naturally. You know, you could explain naturally, he was all tumult, he's all atutz, he couldn't get up, he was whatever. But Malach, like, and this is what you were asking, like, why is the Chazal keep putting Malach, 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 Malach? There's a bunch of them. You go through these Gemaras. But the point is like, you could look at the story and you could explain it all based upon strategies and psychology and plans and, you know, all these different types of things. But, and in some sense, that's true. In some sense, it is a good. It's not that that's bad explanations. I think it's good explanations. They all work out, but at the same time, they're working to a T. They all work together to perfection from the beginning. Even going back to Esther being the queen in the first place, and Mordechai and the whole big son of Saresh thing, and all those things that night, and the bed, and the pages, and he couldn't sleep, and he got to the story, and Haman walks in the middle of the night. And this thing, the falling on the bed and the garden, his thoughts, and like the amount of things that could have gone wrong is astounding. So it's like any one of them you could explain purely based upon natural causes. But if you just put them all together, you realize this is an ace. That's an ace nistar. I think there's a Ramban. I meant to look at it, but I forgot to. There's a Ramban who talks about that he talks about by the nations of the world will see that and then the other one, maybe it's not even on there. No, there's another one. There's but he says like there won't be anyone sick in Klal Yisrael and there won't be any miscarriages, and I think he says something like that, like that's a miracle. But it's not a miracle like the sea splitting, but it's a miracle by the probabilities. It's like there's no, any one person not getting sick isn't miraculous, but the odds in the whole country, the whole world, whole nation, no one getting sick, no miscarriages, that's ridiculous. They totally bust the odds. So like, I think that's part of the idea of like a Nes Nistar. It's like it works through the Teva and you could explain every part of it naturally. But the probability of all the factors working out just right to allow it to come to fruition is where the nes is. And that's why I call the Shir Purim miracles. You know, it's like it's the multiplicity of the miracles, which is, I think, what convinces you that it's a miracle. Like even a corn, for example, that Esther thing, the first thing we did is like, was he not able to sleep because of a miracle or because it was her plan? So if you say it's a miracle, you're saying basically that was a shot in the dark. That plan itself would not have worked, and that's a miracle. But if you learn, which I think the way Rashi, at least the second shot, the Chazal shot, is it was her plan. Her plan did it. So if you say that, so where's the miracle? So then why? Well, who said it's a miracle? Right? And again, and all these things. I mean, if you study, at least again, I think the way Rebbe has explained the Megillah to us over the years, like all these things, like they all make sense. And it's part of the whole beauty of the Mordechai and Esther stories that the Jews saw and they accepted Me'ava. They saw how Mordechai and Esther executed perfectly and everything worked out perfectly. The plan of Mordechai, the plan of Esther, and the mistakes that Haman made, and the mistakes that Ahasuerus made, and they saw a life of Torah leads to success, and the life of Rishos, and you know, life of Gaiva and of Taiva, lead to failure, and they saw all that. But then at the same time, that's only half. There's the beautiful story how it all worked together, but the other half of the story is Hashem. Main character, the Melech, that's on the menug of having a Melech on every front of every column. There's the hidden Melech that's behind every single part of the story. And it's like, it's the interplay of the plan of the Chachma of Mordechai and Esther and the Tshuva of Pais and all that, and the stupid Gaiva of Amman and the Taivas of Ahasuerus, and all working together. And Hashgacha allowing the Rishayim to fail as they should, and the Tzaddikim to succeed as they should. But there's many, many factors, and I think that's why Chazal, if you go through them, there's others. You read through these Gemaras, like there's Malachim all over these Gemaras. But I think that's why they're doing that, because if you study the Megillah well, you could really explain it all, Malki Teva. You have to be, you know, thoughtful and work it through. But you could explain it all in a very naturalistic type of way. And if you do, you'd be missing, you'd appreciate part of it. Part of it you would appreciate. You'd appreciate the godless of Torah and Chachma and Mordechai and Esther and the failings of us, of Haman and Ahasuerus. That is half of what you should appreciate. But you'd be missing the other half of it, of the role of Hashkafa in the story. And by Chazal imputing Malachim at every stage, I think it's not meant to deny the role of Mordechai and Esther and Haman and Ahasuerus, but it's meant to show how the Hashgacha worked in general. And that's why I think Rebbe had that pshat, is like, Masid Lavo, the Megillah is going to be, you know, Kayam. Like even though the books in Tanakh are going to be, you know, knocked out, or the Megillah is going to be Kayam. That's like a blueprint of the life of Torah in action. Like, and the Jews saw it and they accepted Torah Me'ava, because they saw that how the life of Torah leads to success and how the Hashgacha interacts. And it's like a model of like the hidden miracles of the Hashgacha, of how if you do follow a path of Chachma and Torah and, you know, Tefillah and Tshuva, then you'll become, in general, you'll have success. And if you choose a path of Taiva, you'll end up killing your Vashti. And if you don't choose the path of Gaiva, then you get hanged on the tree. And like, again, not always, not every single time, but that is the general path of the Teva. And then to the degree that it's not working out that way, that's the realm of Hashgacha to help it reach its fruition. Help the subtly work, allowing the details to fall into place as they should, in line with the, you know, the principles that Hashem set up in the Bria. And like, I know, that's the way I think about it. So I think about like Hashgacha, the role of Hashgacha, you know, or like that in general. Like that's like in Matla, again, prior, of course, in the time of miracles in the Torah, but like that's what I think Masad Lava, and like in the world that moved the Jews to accept Torah Me'ava, and the world of Masad Lava, is that's the role of Hashgacha, is to, you know, we have to make good decisions and make good plans, but that doesn't mean they'll work out, but that's Hashgacha to help them work out. I'm saying the Malach is that, yeah, it's not necessarily that the Chazal know that Haman would have gotten up, for example, if not for the Malach pushing him. Maybe he would have, maybe he wouldn't have. But the Hashgacha made sure that he did. The Hashgacha, if he would have gotten up, the Hashgacha mouth pushed him. If he naturally would have fallen over and he was so whatever, then that's a different type of malach, but that's the malach of the natural laws that Hashem set up. So like, there are natural laws in place, but Hashem saw to it that that would happen. Now, did Hashem have to manipulate things in order to make it work out? Or was it just naturally going to happen? I don't know. Either way, it was Hashem's will that it happened. And whether his malach was the natural law with some psychological force, or it was Hashem giving a little push. You know, but ultimately, the fact that Hashem would have done it if it had to be done, then in a certain sense, you can attribute that to Hashem. Because if he didn't do it, it's because it happened anyways. But it's like Hashem made sure it happened. So it's like they say that was a malach. But maybe it would have happened anyways. But overall, the totality of them, they weren't all going to happen anyways. And you needed them all. I mean, not only you need every single one, but there are a lot of things that could have gone the other way. The natural course was all the Jews were going to get killed. And there's a lot of things that could have gone the other way that would have made it that that Haman would have come out that night and not been on the tree. Like Chavona, that other one. So Chavona's also, he really hated him, but he was a Rasha.
I think it was one of
the don't say it, but then at least this one. But the fact that Chavona was there at that moment, and he said, Gami Neitzash or whatever, that was also, that had he not been there at that moment, then who knows, maybe the king would have said, okay, we have to do something bad to Haman, but then the next then we'd wait until tomorrow, and who knows what would have happened tomorrow. But the fact that at that very moment, Chavona was there and says, oh, the tree that he made for Tolua Love, and that was it, you know? So that was all, again, this is you're through it. I mean, that's why it's cool to like look at the Gemara. The Gemara is like bring out nuances in the story that you don't pick. You could just, there's like a few daf in the Gemara here. The Mamash goes through the whole story of the Megillah and the Doresh different nuances. And like every part, there's like nuances that you pick up and you see different, a lot. It's a theme in a lot of them. It's about Malach here, Malach there, Shkafa here, Shkafa there. Yeah, there's another example. This, we talked about this on Shabbos, but it says the eunuch Ra'im. Right? Say it there on the eunuch Ra'im. It says, what does it mean, eunuch Ra'im? So it says, it's a funny way to say it. So it said, and they read it. Well, first it says, she eunuch Ra'im Aleha. They read on their own. Right? So what does that mean, they read on their own? The book read on its own. So he said, it's like, and then it says, when you might say kasav, it says, should say kasav. Why did it say kasav? It says that Shimshi was asapikoros or whatever. That's it. The semi was erasing it, and Gabriel was writing it. You know? So he said, they grew on the fun of means they read on its own. It means like when they pulled out that book, like he was looking for this type of a thing, and it was like they couldn't have opened the book and read a story about three little bears. They wouldn't have pulled it off. He was upset. He was worried. He was anxious, and he was looking for this type of a thing. Who is it that he didn't reward? So. It's like it automatically turns to that page. It like read itself. There was no option. These guys didn't love Mordechai. Why are they reading that story? They read that story because it was automatic. That was what the king was looking for. And then it says that Shimshi was trying to erase it. And Gabriel was mocha, you know, it was kosev, which I think means Shimshi, that guy, he was trying to either not read that story, read something else, talk about something else, or downplay it. And erase the significance of the story. Okay, he saved your life, but whatever. You know, like he hated Mordechai also. But Gavriel made it that it was not possible. He basically, like Achashverosh, I don't know exactly the particulars of what happened, but Achashverosh was like dead set on hearing that story and focusing on it and highlighting it and going through with it. And, you know, there was a political will to squash the story and to erase it and to undermine its significance. But Hashgacha, Gavriel, is like the Givura. I guess that's, I don't know, it's always something to do. Malach, Gavriel is like the Gurus Hashem, like the force, the powerful political forces that were trying to squash this whole Mordechai story were overpowered by the Malach and prevented that from happening. But that was also, again, they were fighting against all odds, this whole plan. And Esther's plan, and Esther wasn't here anymore. She just did this one little intervention, and then it all is going all to itself. So it's like another example where it's highlighting the role of the Hashkafa in the, you know, through again, through a Malach. And it's the same, Malach, 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 Malach keeps showing you. It's like you have to see, appreciate all these different things, which could have not, like again, if they would have covered up the whole Mordechai story, then or if Achashverosh would have let it slide, then again, this whole thing wouldn't have worked out. I seem to remember Rabbi said that once, that the nace is in the statistics and the probabilities. It's not, there's no splitting of the sea in the Megillah. But the amount of things working out properly is what makes it clear that it's Ashkach.